The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Yes, welcome everyone to the Rebel and the Renegade Roundtable here on the 21st day of April in the year of 2024. And tonight we've got a humdinger for you. But first of all, I would like to ask all you folks, in any way that you possibly can, let's help RBN stay out here as a voice of free speech, because it's going away faster than a snowball in Tucson in July. And we need to stay on top of this, and we need to make sure that we keep all of the avenues of free speech that we can. So I ask you to support RBN. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and they'll give you all kind of ways to donate. And before we introduce our guest for the evening, I'll bring in my co-host here from down there in the South Carolina area. I'm not going to tell you where, because he's got too many people looking for him now. Stephen, how you doing, buddy?
Mike, I'm great. Thanks for having me. Hello, RBN. I'm really glad to be here. I was at the Dixie Republic yesterday. They had a strong arm contest, and it was a great time. I guess I'm going to guess there was between 150 and 200 people there. It's the biggest turnout I've seen so far for an event there. And even with that, a few folks that I normally see didn't make it. So, you know, we outnumber them, honestly, I believe, if the truth be told. But that's a whole other subject anyway. Thanks for having me. Let me let you get on with the show. I just wanted to let everybody know that we had a good time yesterday, and to also support our advertiser, the DixieRepublic.com.
Oh, fantastic, Stephen. That's great. Glad to hear they had that kind of numbers turnout. That's always great to hear. But don't ever find yourself under the illusion that there's more of us than there are idiots.
Yeah, I suppose you have a point there, sir. It was just really good to be in the company of a lot of people who I could have a conversation with any one of them, and they would have a little bit of common sense. They would use critical thinking instead of reacting emotionally to everything. It was a good thing.
Well, great. Stephen, have you ever had the opportunity to talk with my friend here, Oscar Stille?
Yes, sir. He was a guest on Thought Crime Live once. We've promoted his Busting the Fed website, too. I tried to get folks to send that book to some of the January 6th gulag prisoners, if possible. We've talked about that before, sir. Yes.
All right. Well, guys, I've known Oscar for quite some time now, and I'm going to tell you, folks, he probably wouldn't tell you himself, but he's one of the most intelligent individuals I've ever met. But we won't put that too loud, because we don't want his head to get too big. But anyway, Oscar, how you doing, my friend?
I'm just loving it, loving every minute of it, and so glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, you better believe it, buddy. I'm going to just kind of turn you loose here for as far as an introduction, and let you tell the people about Oscar Stille and how you got to where you are now, and the terrible trip at times from there to here. So if you would, please, sir, go ahead.
Certainly. If you don't mind, I'll try to give the short version because I don't want to take too much of your precious time, and I think we're going to have a great show tonight. But I was an attorney for about 19 years. I got crossways with the tax division of the United States Department of Injustice in Washington, D.C., so they locked me up in 2010. So I did over 10 years behind bars, and then I did a couple years on home confinement, and now I'm on supervised release. And it's a long story. Oh, my goodness, it's like a 10,000-page story. But I have fought all the way, never given up, don't plan to give up. I've got, at this present moment, I have a petition for certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, courtesy of somebody who cared about me and loved me enough to provide the resources to make that happen. It's supposed to be submitted. They're supposed to submit that in conference on the 29th this month. I know it's a long shot, but I'll take my long shot. I don't care what it is. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight all the way. I'm going to support liberty. And that's what I'm about. Is that a good enough introduction?
That is fantastic, Oscar. And folks, let me tell you one thing I know about this man, something he told you I'm going to emphasize. And I hope you don't mind me using my hillbilly vernacular, but there ain't no quitting that boy. I promise you, he does not have a quit button. And he fights for liberty, just as he said. Oscar, we were talking, I can't remember exactly when, but I brought up a hypothetical case for you, and I said, what if we could go before the federal courts and prove that the Constitution, the writing of the Constitution, was a criminal conspiracy, and we could prove that? And I think, just running it by your wonderful legal mind, I said, is there any way that the courts would ever take that case? And if I remember correctly, you said not on a bet. But you also said something else that I would like for you to explain to the listeners. And you made the statement that there is no way that we're ever going to get a case tried on its merits before the federal courts. Am I incorrect in that? And if I am, correct me. But if I'm not, would you elaborate, please, sir?
No, you nailed it. You nailed it. On the income tax, here's what they've done consistently. If it's a question they can't answer, they don't answer it. They keep their mouth shut. And, I told you I went to prison in 2010. I came to be under criminal investigation in 2004, and here's why. I did a brief on the subject, the main subject of the Paperwork Reduction Act as a challenge and a defense against penalties for the failure to provide information that does not comply with the Paperwork Reduction Act. And here's what the government did. They got a couple of extensions. They lied about it and said they needed extensions to prepare their brief. It was a pure lie. They had their stooges to go to this lady that I did it for. And I get her lawyers going and then get their compliant lawyers and then go say, hey, if you'll just sign on this paper and withdraw your appeal, you can walk out of prison today. Of course she did. So here's what I'm saying to answer your question. If they can't answer the question that you posed to them, you ain't going to get an answer. And that's a big thing that I've been fighting about. And a lot of people look at me and say, Oscar, are you completely out of your mind? What are you doing? You're doing this and you're doing that. Why are you doing this? I see where the ball's at. The government has gotten it in their heads, and they understand that when answering a question would be poisonous to their treasonous plans, they just clam up. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir, it does. And let me, Stephen, you have a question for Oscar here on that point?
Well, they're not going to expose their treasonous plan, like you said. It just, you've pointed out how this thing was a fraud from the beginning, which I didn't understand when I started to learn this, how this Constitution that we're under empowers the government to do anything that they want to do. And Oscar, your experience in federal court backs that up, that there is no appeal, that if they can rule on the facts and the merit of a case, they can judge whether the facts are relevant, whether they're true or not. Even if they're not, you could have proof, evidence that proves your case, but you're not allowed to introduce that into the courtroom. Isn't that right, sir?
Yeah, you're right. The answer is yes, you're right. They can keep whatever they want to keep out. They'll find a way. They'll keep it out.
So and the January 6th people have found that out the hard way, and also the people who, you know, well, I think that the Alex Jones thing's big show, you know, in one sense, but also they would not allow the conflicting evidence to be presented for the court that would have proven the case. Sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to speak over you, but yeah.
No, you're good.
That just
you're
goes good. To show that's what's going on. Go ahead.
Well, Oscar, you know, I was under the mistaken impression that you got in the jam that you got in with one case where you represented Wayne, I won't use his last name, God rest his soul, up there in your neck of the woods, and that you defended him on what was a Second Amendment case, but you have corrected me since then. But I thought that
actually,
that probably
no,
contributed
Mike,
to
Mike, can I say something there?
Please, go ahead.
At least half the cases I took really offended the feds. There's a reason Oscar Steele went to prison on a complete bogus and phoned it up case. They hated me for a ton of reasons. Oh, and it's just not just the feds. I made the local power brokers in the county and the city, they were mad at me. The state of Arkansas, down in Little Rock, Arkansas, the power brokers down there hated my guts. The Eighth Circuit was mad at me. They hated my guts. Now, does that help to show you why that they pulled out of the stops and make sure that Oscar Steele is behind bars?
Well, I wanted to kind of elaborate on that. I totally understand that, Oscar. And what is the part in the Constitution where it says you have a right to a trial by a jury of your peers?
Let's see. You're talking about the, I think it's the Sixth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment gives you a right to a grand jury indictment. I believe it's the Sixth Amendment that gives you a right to a jury of your peers in a criminal case.
Okay, did you get a trial by jury of your peers?
You know, some I actually did. There was 12 folks there, and they came back. They had it was hung on me, and the judge gave what's known as an Allen instruction, also known as a dynamite instruction. Hey, you guys are just wonderful. And the fact of the matter is, they went back, and a little while later, they came back with unanimous guilty verdicts on all three counts. I got 5 years apiece. I'll run consecutive, so I got 15-year sentence. That's how that worked.
Well, but were you tried in Arkansas?
Oh, no. Northern District of Oklahoma, and I complained about that. I said, wait a minute. What in the world did I do over here to justify you hailing me in the court over here in the Northern District of Oklahoma? All the things you're saying about what I did, it happened over in Arkansas. Well, it didn't do me any good. They tried me in Oklahoma, Northern District, Tulsa, and they got their guilty verdict, sent me to prison.
Well, then how could that have been a trial by a jury of your peers? Because none of those people knew you.
Exactly. Okay, they told me, and when I say they, the lawyer, Charles Anthony O'Reilly, is the California bar license attorney who prosecuted me. He's with the Department of Justice. He prosecuted me in... let's see, where was I going with this? What was your question?
We were talking about the fact that you were, was it Elk City, Oklahoma, where they held your trial?
No, it was in Tulsa.
Oh, it was in Tulsa. Okay. All right. But still, even at that proximity, you actually didn't have a trial by a jury of your peers because, those were not the people who knew Oscar Steele, knew anything about him.
Yeah, and,
So would you say that they did that because they felt like their chances of trying you in Arkansas was not very good?
You established my train of thought. It was O'Reilly who told me that there was also a criminal investigation in Arkansas. All right, now stop and think about this. If I had committed a crime in Arkansas, don't you think they'd bring charges here?
Exactly. That's my point.
Of course. But they knew that I had a high degree of name recognition in the state of Arkansas, and they didn't want to come up against that. They didn't bring an indictment. If they wanted to, they could have. They didn't. They did something silly and tried me over in the Northern District of Oklahoma, and that's where we're at.
Oh, well, Oscar, you and I, the last time we talked, you know, I think we had a little Skype message not too long ago, but then we had, we've had several conversations, and I ask you, is there a remedy? And I know that's a legal phrase, but is there a remedy to the mess the people are in with this corrupt government?
There absolutely is, but it's going to be a hard sell. Most people don't want to hear the truth.
Absolutely.
There is a remedy for it, but when you, I'll just tell you, most people, if you tell them what that remedy is, they're going to say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. What's your next best option? Now, do you want me to tell you what that remedy is?
Oh, yes. That's why I wanted you on here. I wanted the folks to hear what, you know, one of the best legal minds I've ever known, and I've known quite a few. What the best legal mind I've ever known has to say on the subject.
All right, I'm going to tell you. It's the people that love liberty and want liberty need to start keeping the commandments of Yahweh, our Elohim. In other words, start keeping the Torah. And here's what's happened. All the people that hate our liberty and want to take our liberty have told us sweet little lies to get us to toss His rules out. Oh, his rules are too hard. You don't need to do those. Well, let me tell you something. If we could just go back and read it instead of trying to read it out, explain it away, just go and see what he says and just start obeying what he said, we will get the power back that we have lost so that we can push our enemies over and laugh at them and make fun of them and take back everything that they've stolen from us.
Well, Oscar, my question would then be, how can we do that when we have a Supreme Court that has the final say-so in every legal matter?
All right. They've got too much power. I've already said that. I've already made that clear. They've got too much power. They push back. They don't answer what they don't want to answer and all this kind of thing. You have, when you have somebody that's your adversary that has that much power, you have to find a way out. In other words, don't run into that 20-foot thick stone wall. You're going to have to find a way to find a weak point in the wall and attack it that way until you defeat it. And let me tell you how you start. I believe it's in the 18th chapter of Exodus. And Moses, it's his father-in-law explaining to Moshe how he needs to handle things. And he said, hey, you're trying to do everything for everybody, and you're just going to wear yourself out. He said, do it this way. He said, pick out 10 men and create a leader. So you got 10 men and a leader. And you got then pick 5 of those, so you got 50 men with 5 leaders, and put a leader over those. Just do the same thing for 100, and then do the same thing for 1,000. Now, that sounds like a very simple thing, and Oscar, you cannot be serious that is the solution. Yes, it is. It's not the complete solution, but it's the start to the solution. You have to start putting together and have the leaders at the bottom level that build a structure that can't be destroyed. You and I just talked. It's not that long ago. We talked. And you told me about a gentleman that the government shoved him out and rendered him destitute, living out of a car and just in miserable circumstances because they could crush him. If you do this societal organization that I just told you about, putting people like that on the street, destroying them, wiping them out, they ain't even got food on the table, that becomes impossible because the government doesn't know that. You've got the food, and you've got plenty of food. You produce food. You know how to produce it as efficiently as the big corporations that are just scrambling and running as hard as they can run and making as much money as they can and giving half of it to the feds and doing the same thing the next day. Does that make sense? Does that help to understand where I'm coming from? A structure that is nearly impossible, virtually impossible, to break up.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen, do you have a question on this point for Oscar?
You know, the kind of thing you're describing is just what we have been trying to do over time, to get people in real life together who are, like you said, a structure that they can't break. That's the only answer. I agree with you completely. We have to find a different way. And I think I know where you're going with this, and I agree. I think I agree with you completely that that's the only thing that we could do, to have a network that trumps theirs, basically. Like you said, as long as there are enough people there who could take care of each other, we could make them irrelevant. Is that what you're saying?
You nailed it, brother.
There you go. I have to agree with you. Yeah.
Spot on.
That's what we need to do. I agree. Yes, sir. And, you know, meeting together the way we have been at these events, that's the beginning of it, I do believe. I believe that's where it's going to come out of.
Oh, I totally am on board with that. I totally understand what Oscar is saying. Oscar, I have some listeners who have asked me some questions over a period of time, and I have tried to give them the best answer I can, and I would certainly appreciate your legal expertise on this question. And I know, because I did the research, and the Supreme Court has now defined common law as the precedence of their decisions. Now, that is a gross, in my opinion, that is a gross miscarriage to call common law what they have decided the law is. But in the vernacular, would you please explain to people the difference between common law and natural law, if there is a difference, please?
Sure. As I understand it, common law is just a body of the laws that are binding upon the people. And I just tell you, in the state of Arkansas, there's a statute that said that the common law, as of a certain date, like 1700, 1650, something like that, all that is part of the body of Arkansas law. Of course, it doesn't make much difference now, simply because they've got more recent decisions. They've decided all that stuff. You don't have to go back to the old common law. Natural law is what I would say. It's the law, really, that Yahweh laid out with his Torah, but not exactly, because a lot of what Yahweh laid out with his Torah, when we look at it, we scratch our heads and say, oh my goodness, what is he trying to do? What is he trying to say? Let me give you an example. Fourth commandment, Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. And we think, what in the world is that for? Let me tell you what it does. It creates a sense of community, a sense of identity. And the enemies of liberty, watch this. They're trying to destroy identity, your sense of community. Think about this. Like the transgender people, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pull them out from anywhere. In other words, if you're a male and you're trying to run over, pretend you're a female, they don't want you to have the men that you were raised with. They want them to all think you're crazy, and the women to reject you because you ain't no woman to us, so you have no community. Sabbath day gives you a basis. Hey, we're Sabbath keepers. We keep Sabbath. We believe Yahweh's Torah. And a lot of people say, oh my goodness, aren't there some crazy laws about Sabbath? Well, yeah, man has added a lot of silly stuff to it, but really the fundamental thing is getting in your mind that Yahweh is the one that sets the rules, and I'm the one that needs to obey them. And it goes on and on from there. Does that answer your question about natural law? Natural law is the kind of thing we could do a whole show on it and not run out of material.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that is something I get asked on multiple occasions about that. I would like to run something that has happened recently, well, within the past year. And I would like your input on this. The people of the state of Missouri came up with what was called a Second Amendment Protection Act. And it was passed by their legislature, signed into law by their governor. And almost immediately after that law was passed in Missouri, the DOJ, or, you know, Department of Injustice, anyway, they challenged the Missouri on that count. And then they brought in a federal judge in Missouri named Weems or whatever it is. He was an Obama appointee. And he said, no, folks, I'm sorry, but the Supremacy Clause overruled you. You can't have that. So the Supremacy Clause overrules the Bill of Rights. Would you elaborate on that, please, Oscar?
Yeah, they do that all the time. They when they have a hard case and they want to get a certain result, they go pick their get their hand-picked guy, and it's predetermined. It's just, you know, he's a toady. He's not independently exercising any judgment. He just throws everything out. Now, really, but once again, the way to get around that, you can't knock him off his perch in any, you know, formal way. You can't threaten. You can't hurt him. You can't do anything. Nothing like that. But here's where we've gone so bad wrong. Most of us, when we go down to the courthouse and they tell us, oh, this guy sold dope. This guy did this and did that. We don't ask the fundamental question, is this forbidden by Yahweh's Torah? And they've conned us to the point that we will just go down there like obedient little automatons. Oh, I think drugs are bad, so I'm going to convict this guy. And when it comes time to throw somebody in prison for exercising Second Amendment rights, they can do it. Don't forget that the government right now has a dragnet of getting information. They have a jury tampering system that is out of this world. Out of this world. Unless the people who love liberty get it in their minds, hey, I'm not my own leader. I need to listen to Yahweh because he's smarter than me, and he's the one that led his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. When people realize that and start exercising their minds on that and following Yahweh, then we can defeat these hand-picked toadies masquerading as federal judges. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I hope you don't mind if I hit you with a barrage of questions, but it's unique for us to have such a legal mind as yours here on with us. Let Stephen, do you have any questions at this point for Oscar on what we've talked about so far?
Well, I've heard people talk about jury nullification, that the jury has the right to not only try the person that's being charged with the crime, but the law itself, and that they don't realize that they could find the law it is not worth upholding. But even if they do that, can't the judge overrule that? I've heard differing accounts about whether the jury nullification works or not. These judges, they're just like little dictators, and like they can not only rule on the facts of the case, but they can overturn a jury. Is that correct?
No, they can't overturn the jury on a criminal case. They can on a civil case. It's called a judgment as a matter of law. But on a criminal case, they can't do that. And you know, I've seen jurors come up and tell the judge, oh, I can't sit on this case because I think what the government is doing here is just crazy and it's illegal and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, God, you have a right to keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything.
Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut and sit on the jury. Yes, that's where you're needed. Don't tell the judge that you. Yeah, that is absolutely incredible. But the Second Amendment's becoming something really big, Oscar. I'm sure you're aware of that with all of these laws that are being passed now. Oh, we got some music coming on. We'll be back on the flip side, folks. Stay with us and support RBN.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123 at gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Because without them, freedom and rightful liberty would not exist in this, on this planet, and that's for sure. And Oscar, during the break, I've got a couple of questions I would like to run by you. You know, first I want to start with the Second Amendment issue that we were talking about, and then I would like to jump to a Article 5 or Fifth Amendment question, I guess it would be, and then. But first of all, I want to let Stephen jump in here and see if he's got any questions or any comments he would like to make.
Well, I got a text. Someone wanted to know what Bible it was you used. You were quoting the Torah and Yahweh's commandments and stuff there. Just they were curious as to which Bible you used.
Oh, hey, I'm glad to say it's the one that I use most is called the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. It is available for $20 on Amazon. I also use the Sacred Scriptures Bethel Edition. You can get that online. And there's another one that I really like. It's Green's Interlinear Bible, so I can see exactly what word, whether in the Greek or the Hebrew, what the source word from which the translation came. Those three are my standbys. And I'll be glad if anybody wants to ask me for more help. I'm glad to do that because I'm glad to see people get back to the real roots of it and see what's actually behind the words that are translated to English.
Thanks,
well, Stephen.
Stephen, go ahead, sir.
If I could jump in just for a second, Oscar, would you like to tell the people how they could contact you personally if you're willing to do that?
For sure. Absolutely. The best way is OscarStilley@gmail.com, and that is just my first and last name, no punctuation, all lowercase, OscarStilley@gmail.com. Just send me an email. I do check my emails, and usually I'm pretty fast about it. I'll get back to you, and when I get back to you, I have all my contact information, and we'll talk.
Hey, great, buddy. Well, my question, first of all, let's look at the Second Amendment. We know that it's the only amendment among the group that says shall not be infringed. And when just to show you the corruption of the government we live under, it's the most infringed amendment that we have.
Sure it is.
So, you know, the people out there who have all of these Second Amendment groups, you know, the no rights anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NRA. You know, a lot of these other organizations, they keep pushing. Oh, we've got the Second Amendment. We've got the Second Amendment. But we don't. And that is and we know. And here's my point. And Oscar, you correct me at any point. It will not bother me in the least. But all criminals prefer unarmed victims.
Of course.
Okay. And then the government, being a criminal entity, prefers unarmed victims.
Of course it does. Here's what they're trying to do right now. They intend to do things to us that would naturally and probably cause an uprising, and they want to prevent it, just like every tyrant before. They disarm the people before they do their destructive deeds.
Well, absolutely. And that is the point. You know, I think it's so hard to get people to understand. I mean, we've got people joining groups, sending in annual dues and everything else for the Second Amendment, and they have accomplished absolutely nothing. And I begin to wonder, are these not ghost operations? Many of these Second Amendment groups are ghost operations, which are actually manipulated from the inside by the government. Would you comment on that?
Let me tell you something. The government sends their stooges, their assets, their snitches everywhere they think they've got a threat. You've got to be on the watch, on the lookout for a snitch all the time. I've seen them again and again. I've seen them do a lot of damage to me. So does that answer your question? If they have an enemy, they're going to have their people there. Just look out for them.
Well, here's now a great answer. And then I would like to jump to my, the fifth article or Fifth Amendment. I'm trying to think exactly where it is, but it's the part you mentioned earlier about a grand jury. And it says that all major crimes must have a grand jury indictment. Yes. Did you have a grand jury indictment?
Well, that's a very good question. Let me explain what we had. We had a claim of a grand jury indictment, but it was never returned in open court, and the court rules say it has to be returned in open court. Very interesting. Oh, and that, and six times pretrial, they said that the offense was that my co-defendant, Lindsey Springer, had earned money. I paid the money out of my IOTA account, my lawyer's trust account. I paid it to him, and therefore, somehow, I committed a crime by paying him for doing work. And then after, at sentencing, here was their theory at sentencing. We stole the money. All right, that violates the right to indictment. Anything ever violates the right to indictment. What is more opposite than claiming pretrial that somebody earned the money and then afterward claiming it's theft? Oh, on the basis of what? No evidence? Oh, it was no evidence at all, but there was also evidence that totally contradicted their theories. Now, does that answer your question about what has happened to the Fifth Amendment right to a grand jury indictment? It's gone.
Yep. Yes, sir. That is something, you know, I can remember, you know, Oscar, I worked for 2 years in Arkansas as kind of a consultant to several lawyers. And one of the things I kept asking is, does Arkansas actually have a grand jury? And so many of the attorneys told me, no, we've never had a case involving a grand jury. So if that
Arkansas
is the case,
State of Arkansas doesn't have one.
That's what I mean. So how can you sentence anyone to a capital crime without a grand jury indictment, Oscar?
Okay, the United States Constitution, it binds the federal government, and at least the way that they put it is that the Fifth Amendment right to a grand jury indictment is for cases in federal court, not for cases in Arkansas state court. No, they do not do grand jury indictments. They just do their little silliness. They just write up an accusation against you, call it, it's an information. Boom, there you go, and they're going to prosecute that, and they can change it anytime they want to.
Well, Stephen, any questions, sir?
Do you think we are at the point now that Soviet Union was, where that was basically show me the man and then I'll give you the crime, that it's that corrupt now? I believe we live in the USSA these days, this is what it looks like in 2024, right here, what we're living in. But I just would wonder what you think about that. Do you think that we have reached that point yet, or
not? It's real close, Stephen. It is real, real close to that point. You see all these guys, you know, coming in there, and a lot of the times they'll come in and they're coerced into it, and they'll go in and they'll change their plea to guilty. They'll go in and lie about themselves, not because they're guilty, not because they want to go to prison, but because, oh, they've been promised 5 years if they convince the judge that they're guilty. Oh, and if you don't, it's 20 years. Oh, it might be 40 years. Oh, it might be life. That's how they get that. Yes, okay, technically, we're not totally at the show me the man, I'll show you the crime, but we are so close, it barely matters.
Yes, sir. I have to agree. Thank you, Mike.
Well, I tell you, Oscar, that is quite alarming, you know, as we look at it, because evidently, and, you know, I've said this, been saying this for years, made a lot of people mad, made a lot of people dislike me. But I have said that the Constitution itself was written by lawyers, of the lawyers, by the lawyers, and for the lawyers, because, you know, the majority of the delegates at the convention were attorneys, 34 out of 55. And then of the ones who signed the Constitution, 24 out of 39 were lawyers. And then the Committee of Style and Arrangement was all lawyers except for the chairman, who had nothing to do with their activities whatsoever. And they went in and they took the Constitution that had been ratified. I mean, I'm sorry, not ratified, but the Constitution that had been settled on by the Committee of the Whole. And then they went in there, and Gouverneur Morris, a very brilliant attorney, but Gouverneur Morris went in and made several alterations to the Constitution itself, added some things, subtracted some things, changed punctuation, and it's all documented. It's easily researched if someone really cares that much about it. But and then especially making the Supreme Court the final arbiter, and the Supreme Court being naturally all lawyers who are not elected and who served for life. And the whole system, in my mind, was corrupt from the beginning, but I would like your thoughts on that, Oscar.
Okay, that brings up the concept of mighty ones. You know, the word that, when you look in the Bible and the Old Testament, and you read the word God, nearly all the time, the word behind that is Elohim, which actually means mighty ones. Okay, lawyers, essentially, are mighty ones. In other words, we're the people that, lawyers, other people have risen to the top of the social structure, and they make the rules. They're in the legislature. There's a ton of them in the legislature. Of course, they run the courts all the time. The judges are this, and so it's mighty ones, and they do these things. And I take a more nuanced approach. I know what you're thinking. I respect it highly, but I take a little bit more nuanced approach. I mean, they had to. At some point in time, they had to talk about these things, decide what's going to come in, what's not. They had to do editing, whether it was done at the right time or it was done surreptitiously, deceitfully. I'm not expressing an opinion on that, but it was done by the mighty ones of that day, and it's always going to be that way. There's always going to be people in society. It doesn't matter if you call them lawyers or you call them something else. There's going to be people that rise to the top. They're going to be the mighty ones, the Elohim of that society, and they're going to make most of the decisions and make the rules. My approach is to just make your peace with that and make that system, that ideology, that thinking, that worldview work in your favor. Now, let me say something. I just want to jump in here and say this. Actually, on the Supreme, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said please do. I'm sorry.
Okay, on the Supreme Court, technically, you do not have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court. The judges, president, and see, the president nominates, and the Senate has to approve. Okay, you're not going to get one. Technically, almost never would you get a non-lawyer appointed and then confirmed by the Senate. But it's technically possible. Okay, they just won't do it. Here's what they do. They get the lawyers that have a whole lot of power and have done a whole lot of stuff and risen to the top and proven themselves politically reliable to somebody. How many have you seen that you didn't think were politically reliable to somebody? They're all, you know, they are. The judges are politically reliable.
I think there's some great examples of that. I mean, let's look at none other than Justice Kavanaugh. And Justice Kavanaugh, which most people don't know, I remember back in 2017, I was in Arkansas, and the local groups were all upset that Kavanaugh was being chastised, or he was accused of this, or he was accused of that. And they made a big melodrama out of the whole issue. But the whole point is that most people were unaware that it was James Kavanaugh who was, no, I'm not sure that's his first name, but anyway, Kavanaugh was the gentleman who was the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., and who helped the Clintons cover up the murder of, oh gosh, what's his name right now? I'm trying to think of it, but Vince Foster. He intimidated witnesses. He did all kind of stuff. And then later down the road, he gets to be a Supreme Court justice. Was that a reward, Oscar?
Did I tell you that they put politically reliable people in high places or not?
Well, Of course. I just wanted to reemphasize your point. And how many people know that Amy Comey Bryant, whatever her name is?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, Amy Coney Barrett. Thank you. How many people know that it was her on the appellate court who told in the case that Stephen mentioned earlier, the wonderful case of, you know, no one died at Sandy Hook, that whole mess, that she was the one as an appellate court judge who said that there were just a limit on the questions and the answers that the witnesses could give. And she restricted that as an appellate court judge. And then, you know, just a few short years later, she's on the Supreme Court.
Okay. Once again, people show that they will call black, white, and white, black, and they'll be persuasive and convincing when they do it and convince suckers. They get rewarded.
Oh, big time. And then what was it Gorsuch did? Gorsuch was from Denver, Colorado, and he was a leader in a church that performed same-sex marriages. He had no problem with it.
Okay.
You think that helped anything?
Well, here's what the deal is. That has become so prevalent these days that I'm not sure if it did or not. You and I can both remember when sodomy in at least some states was a felony offense.
Absolutely.
But here's what we did, and I think it's a terrible mistake. The Holy Writ, the Torah, prohibits sodomy, but instead of just focusing on that and trying to do things in a way that it's going to maintain the political support, we attacked lesbians and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now you got a coalition, you got a bloc. Next thing you know, the whole thing folded. It's crumbled. So that is just as treated as just normal and natural. You can't say anything against it. They're a protected group, all that kind of stuff. It's to the point that today, I don't think it matters whether his church did this or that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think.
Okay, well, I think he had that alleged conservative mindset, but there was nothing about him that was conservative. And that, I think, is one of the illusions, you know, that people jumped up and down. Oh, we're going to get him for a Supreme Court justice. And very few people know anything about their backgrounds, just like Kavanaugh and just like Amy Comey, whatever her name is. And Oscar, do we have a member of the Supreme Court right now who's never actually sat as a judge in any case whatsoever?
No. And there's not going to be one. In our lifetimes, there's not going to be one. In the next 10 lifetimes, there's not going to be one. They will all have experience, and nearly all of them will have both district court experience and appellate court experience.
Well,
they want to know, are they trustworthy? Are they politically reliable?
Well, help me out with something. Do you have any examples whatsoever of when Kagan ever actually sat on the bench for a trial?
No, I don't know. Kagan, let me tell you what has happened there. Back in the day, you know, it took a long time to get a woman on the court. And then they started off like with, I think, Sandra Day O'Connor. She may have been the first, or she's one of the first. And you look at her, and she's a high class, serious confidence and bearing, great bearing. And we rock along, you know, kind of doing this and that. And now you've got Kagan and Sotomayor. Let me tell you something. You just do a little research. I don't want to be critical because I got a petition right up there in front of them, and I hope they vote for me.
Right. But, I understand.
Unless you're just reaching out, okay. I think it's Sotomayor's got diabetes. And when you look at him, okay, Seriously, this is what you want. These people are leaders. They're mighty ones. Are these seriously the best that we can come up with? Are we just trying to have this DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion on the Supreme Court too? Do you see what I'm saying?
There's, oh, absolutely.
You know good and well. Okay, Amy Coney Barrett is when she goes somewhere and speaks, you know, she's striking. She's a top of the line individual. So I would have thought logically that's the kind of person you get. You look somebody who has a mind like a steel trap, a sterling legal career, somebody that's politically reliable for your side, and that's what it is every time. And only difference is, okay, who's in office? Which one do they have to be reliable to? Get somebody who is a lion, a towering figure, and put them in. I don't see that, and I hope really they're not listening and don't find out. But with those two women, I just don't see that. Do you? Do either of you see that?
No, Oscar. I did some research, and you know I could be wrong, and I will accept it if I am. But the research that I did on Elena Kagan was that she has never sat on the bench for any trial whatsoever, civil or criminal.
Was she on the Court of Appeals?
Yes.
Was she a magistrate?
I think you're correct there, but I don't think she's ever actually sat in a trial on any level whatsoever. Yes, you know, she probably was pushed into the Court of Appeals on the same level, but would you want a pilot on your aircraft who had never flown a plane?
That depends. That depends on what you'd want to do with this pilot. If I'm flying, no, I want them to have some experience. But the question is, what do they want? Now, let me tell you just a little bit of story about how they get magistrate judges. Magistrate judges have an application that they had to fill out, and I got a copy of it and went down through it. One of the questions, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically is, tell us the worst things that you've ever done.
Okay. What?
You know exactly what's going on. They want to know, what could we blackmail you with if you get out of line?
Oh,
and oh, by the way, if you don't tell us the truth about the bad things you've done, we might just find out, since we got a dragnet that pulls in everything.
Well, here comes the music, guys. We'll be back on the flip side. Oscar, this is so much fun. You know, I'm just really having a great time. And when we come back, I'm going to let Steven jump in here on this. Thanks,
sure.
Folks. Support RBN.
What the world's gotten to for people like me. People like you wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do. And it's taxed to no end, 'cause a rich man knows a rich man. I wish politicians would look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to heat, and the whole beast.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.